أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي اتق الله ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين إن الله كان عليما حكيما. واتبع ما يوحى إليك من ربك إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. ما جعل الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفه وما جعل أزواجكم اللائي تظاهرون منهن أمهاتكم وما جعل أدعياءكم أبناءكم ذلكم قولكم بأفواهكم والله يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل. ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله فإن لم تعلموا آباءهم فإخوانكم في الدين ومواليكم وليس عليكم جناح فيما أخطأتم به ولكن ما تعمدت قلوبكم وكان الله غفورا رحيما. ஓ நபி ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஸல்லம், ஃபியா அல்லாஹ் தஆலா அண்ட் நாட் லிசன் டு த காஃபிர்ஸ் அண்ட் த ஹிப்போக்ரிட்ஸ். அல்லாஹ் தஆலா இஸ் ஆல் நோயிங் அண்ட் ஃபுல் ஆஃப் விஸ்டம், அண்ட் ஃபாலோ த ரெவலேஷன் சென்ட் டு யூ ஃப்ரம் யுவர் ரப். அல்லாஹ் சுப்ஹானஹு தஆலா இஸ் ஃபுல்லி அக்வைண்டட் வித் ஆல் தட் யூ டூ. அண்ட் ட்ரஸ்ட் இன் அல்லாஹ், அல்லாஹ் தஆலா இஸ் சஃபிஷியன் accomplish all affairs. After the treaty at Hudaybiyah, a delegation of the Quraysh comprising of Abu Sufyan, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl and some other leading Quraysh had come over to Medina Munawwara to negotiate some terms with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amongst the proposals, one was this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must only see that the idols are good and we will enjoy a good relationship, there will be no war between ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people had come in and they had presented their proposals, and the Jewish munafiqs that presented themselves as Muslims, they had also accompanied them when they had presented whatever they had to present. These Jewish munafiqs also supported their proposals and said, Ya Rasulullah, should accept this proposal of theirs, otherwise there will be fear of bloodshed. Umar radiallahu anhu was around, and when he heard about the proposals and the Jewish support that they had been receiving, he was enraged and he wanted to kill them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warned, Ya Rasulullah, ittaqillah, fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't listen to these proposals of these munafiqeen and these kuffar. And by the same token, Rasulullah had made it known to Umar radiallahu anhu that I've entered into a truce peace, a peace treaty with them, and it will be wrong to violate this treaty. If I'm going to kill them or command that they should be killed, then this is total violation of the treaty that we had signed. So Allah Ta'ala reminds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqillah, fi Allah, and don't ever listen to these kafirs and munafiqs, as you had never listened to them in the past, so now also you don't have to listen to them. And if you are concerned about the mischief that they could make against Medina Munawwara, then don't be concerned, but tawakkal ala Allah. Put your trust in Allah Ta'ala alone, for He is sufficient to take care and to accomplish all affairs. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. Allah Ta'ala has not made for a single person two hearts in his body, and nor has Allah Ta'ala made your wives, which you declare forbidden through zihar, your mothers, and He hasn't made your adopted sons your own sons. This is a manner of speech from your mouths, and Allah Ta'ala says the truth, and He shows the right path. It was also an Arab custom that if a person was very intelligent, they would say that he's got two hearts. And sometimes when they find a person of this nature and he's playing a balancing act, on the one side he shows allegiance to one group and then he shows allegiance to another opposition group, so they would say that he has got two minds. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't given any one person two minds. He cannot be giving his allegiance to one person and give his allegiance to his opposition at one and the same time. If he's giving his heart out to one person, then he cannot say that I've given my heart out to the opposition as well, like I've given it to you. So there cannot be two inconsistent attitudes of one person at the same time. He's on either one side or the other side, but two opposing inconsistent attitudes, one person is showing at the same time, and this is not possible. So just as this is not possible, that a person has two opposing, conflicting, inconsistent attitudes at one and the same time, the same is the pagan Arab custom, that they would say to their wives that you are to me like the back of my mother, implying that the wife has become forbidden and haram. So this will be a selfish end of a man, where he deprives his wife of conjugal rights, but he makes her forbidden for himself, keeping him in the wedlock, but depriving her of her basic rights. So Allah Ta'ala says that this type of words and statements that you make in paganism, then Islam doesn't recognize this. مَا جَعَلَ أَزْوَاجَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Those wives of yours who you declare forbidden through zihar, they are not your mothers. You have said that you are like my mother, but then she doesn't become your mother. She will still remain a stranger to you. Or if it's a wife, she will remain your wife. She will not become haram just on account of you saying that you are my mother. So saying these words here will not make the wife a mother, like she had not given birth to you, then she will not have all the rights and all the laws pertaining to a mother. Similar will be the law, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ, that Allah Ta'ala hasn't made your adopted sons your own sons. Like saying these words to the wife doesn't make her your mother, she will not enjoy those same rights and privileges. Similarly, when you have adopted a son, then this son also doesn't become your own son, doesn't become your blood. So the laws will not apply. Like in the case of a son, the son rights are different, the rules and the rights are totally different to an adopted child. مَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. The adopted child doesn't have any right, and the real child, the blood child, has all the rights. So both cannot be the same. They will not be treated equally. You cannot marry the wife of your son, but you can marry the wife of your adopted son. He is a stranger to you. It is just that you have taken care of him. That doesn't make him your son. Like saying your wife that you are my mother doesn't make her your mother, then taking that adopted child as your child, as your son, doesn't make him your real child. He doesn't enjoy all those privileges and all those rights. This is a manner of speech from your mouths. It is just how you say and how you express yourselves. There is no essence and no basis for this. And Allah Ta'ala says the truth, and he shows the right way. Udu'uhum li'aba'im, these type of adopted children, then call them by the names of their fathers. This is more just in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. And if you don't know the names of their fathers, then call them as your brothers in deen. Call them your deeni brothers and your friends. There is no sin for you in the mistakes that you make, but what really counts by Allah Ta'ala is what your hearts have intended. And Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. So when you're calling these type of boys or these type of children, then don't call them as though they are your own children. Their lineage mustn't be joined up with yours. And this will obviously complicate and confuse things, that whose child is this? Is it your child, biological child, or is it someone else's child? You've adopted the child, say it's an adopted child, not your own child. And you making him your own child, you complicate matters, inheritance, marriage, etc. All matters become complicated. So say things as they are, don't complicate matters. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minin. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is closer to the believers than their own selves. And his respected wives are their mothers. The Nabi being closer to the believers than their own selves, it's obvious that a man may prefer something that is going to be detrimental to him in this life or in the hereafter. It may not be the most beneficial thing, because as he's got the soul guiding him to the right, and he's got the nafs that is tempting him towards evil, so he's going to be tempted, and this temptation, becoming a slave to temptation, obviously is a disaster, is a destruction. So as far as a human being, any person is concerned, he can be tempted to right, he can be tempted to his own destruction. So he can lead his own self to disaster. But as for the Nabi, then he is guided and he is protected. Whatever he will say will be just good and salvation. There'll be good in it, there'll be prosperity in it, and there'll be salvation in it. So the Nabi thinks more of you than your own selves. So his love for you and his attention, his attachment to you is greater than your attachment to your own selves. So these are the rights of the Nabi, that you're supposed to be liking him, his ways, his mannerisms, more than your own ways and your own likes. وَأَزْوَاجُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives are your mothers, the mothers of the believers, in other words, not in the biological sense, but the respect that we show should be like we show towards our mothers, in fact, even more. وَأُولُ الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ, and blood relatives, they are closer to each other, according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than the brotherhood of the Muhajireen and the Ansar. When the believers had come to reside in Medina Munawwara, then the relationship was on account of them coming away to Medina Munawwara. So an Ansar used to inherit a Muhajir, and a Muhajir used to inherit the Ansar. So this was the initial law, but thereafter this law was ended and it was cancelled. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala announced that the blood relatives, they have greater rights than the brotherhood of the Muhajireen and the Ansar. إِلَّا أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا. Nonetheless, you should be doing works of kindness and goodness towards all your friends. Be it the Muhajireen, be it the Ansars, but do good towards them. And this has been written in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in the Quran or the Lawa Mahfuz. And behold, we have taken the covenants of the Anbiya alayhi salam from you, from Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Ibn Maryam alayhi salam. We have taken from them all solemn promises and pledges, so that the truthful, the Anbiya, could be questioned about the truth that they were charged with. And he has prepared a grievous punishment for the kafirs. What was this oath? What was the pledge that was taken with the Anbiya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa alayhi wa sallam, the pledge was this, that they will remain upon the truth, they will remain firm upon Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, and spreading and conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not pay attention to any criticism in this regards. They will remain firm, and this is the word that they will spread right throughout their lives. And the second thing that they were charged with was Muhammadur Rasulullah, la nabiyya ba'dahu, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is not going to be any Nabi after him. So every Nabi had to take this pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they enter into this pledge and agreement, and they will remain upon this, they will never turn away from this.